And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I hope. Question mark? Maybe? Question mark?
My weekend was fine.
Yeah. You know what? We can't control sports. You know, we're not the players. We're not the coaches. We can't do anything about it. It stinks that there isn't more winning going on in the state and this Middle Tennessee, but we can't control that. So I hope everybody had a good weekend. Darren McFarland, that's me. Willie Donick is out in Las Vegas. A little Viva Las Vegas, which he did send a picture. He took our advice, and it looks like him and Mr. Pete Weber, and I don't know who else was in the crew, may have watched the game in a sports book yesterday. Watched the games. Is that true? Right? Did I see that
it,
right?
It looked that way. I mean, they were watching games.
I didn't have my glasses on, but it looked like.
The Lions were behind them, so.
Yeah. I hope they took the under of Titans Broncos.
Ooh, yeah. In fact, I remember us talking about that last week, and I said, hey, Chase, what's the over-under? And I said, ooh, I would definitely take the under.
40?
Yeah, it was like, wasn't it 40? I was like, whoa. Like your microphone. Whoa.
I don't know what's up. It's very loud today. Yeah. And I don't know if that's me because I'm a little PO'd for greatness, you know, coming in here this morning. I am.
Are you?
I am.
Good.
You know, the football team on the football team on West End, they suck. The one on Great Circle Road, they suck.
Oh.
The one in Knoxville, they won, but they still suck.
It's going to be one of those shows.
Yeah. That's how I feel.
Okay. Well, maybe you didn't have a great weekend.
No, the weekend was fine.
Okay.
It was good.
Ryan Porth is behind the glass today, filling in for Max Herz.
Hi, Porthy.
Out on assignment, I guess.
How are we doing?
What is he doing?
I don't even know where he is.
Yeah, what is he doing?
He just told me what he's doing. Yeah, what is he doing? He told me a couple weeks ago he couldn't work today, so here I am.
Okay. We'll just call it on assignment, whatever that is. Fresh off his flight from Denver, Colorado, and man, I guess he's had time to think about this one. Let's talk with TD, Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans, ESPN, ESPN.com. Teron, how the heck are you?
I am awesome, man. And you know what? It just hit me. I didn't have a second to ask Ryan to play it, but there's a song that I think is perfect for today.
Tell us.
Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, yeah.
His little song I wrote.
Yeah.
You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
Everybody.
Be happy. Hey, listen. I get it, man. I get it. I went through it, you know, as a 49er fan. I used to fly to San Francisco, go to 49er fans.
Did you
games.
Really, though?
Oh, 100%.
Did you have tough times in San Francisco?
I had tough times. We're talking about the Mike Singletary era.
What'd they lose, two in a row?
No, you better check the internet.
I remember Mike Singletary.
They lost a lot.
I remember when he sent Vernon Davis to the locker room during the game.
So I know the feeling, man, like flying back with that loss on your mind, and you're just like, what the heck? And it's tough. I just say to Titans fans, you know, hold on, because I'm not gonna say change is coming, but you know, things just have their way of swinging back into your favor.
Okay, we'll need you to expound on that a little bit more.
Yeah, can you give us a timeline on that?
This team isn't gonna be terrible forever.
Well, you hope not.
Well, in fairness, you know, I get it. The Mike Singletary era was, in fairness, there's not a lot of people in these parts, including me, that will give you a shoulder to cry on being a 49ers fan. Like, they've been one of the premier franchises and done a whole lot of winning. If we were talking about the Titans and a premier franchise and done a whole lot of winning, and this is the really rough patch,
I get it.
It'd be like, everybody, just settle down, okay? We've had a lot of good times.
I get it.
But the good times have been... Well, they feel like they're in the far, far distance. That's what they feel like because, quite honestly, they are in the far distance. And it's not like there was one nice little 4 or 5 year window where they were in position every year to vie for a Super Bowl victory.
Understood. I wasn't looking for a shoulder to cry on because, you know, I'm one of those guys that never has a bad day.
Yeah,
so I'm not looking for that. I'll be honest with you. What I was saying was I could reason with the disappointment that these fans have because whether the 49ers won in the past at that time, it was discouraging, you know, to see them put that product on the field. But when you look at this team, there's a lot to break down. I know fans are tired of hearing that we have to do better.
Yeah, honestly, I'm tired of it. It's not just the fans. Like, I don't want to hear Mike Vrabel 11:30. Like, we have to coach better, we have to play better, we have to be better. We've heard all that. Like, everybody gets that. Okay, we understand.
I just wonder what else. Like, what can he say?
I know it's tough because we're not in that position of standing up there and having to answer the questions every day.
Putting in all that work. Last Monday, he was asked a question along those lines. He was actually asked what he would say to the fans. And he went into, you know, he 100% understands he signed up for it. But he went into how he spends a lot of time, more time at the facility than at home with his wife, you know, and with his son. Obviously, one of his sons is up there at Boston College, but I don't know what else he could say. I mean, you stand up there and it's so clear that you're frustrated and your top is about to blow off because you just say, man, what can I do to get this ship right? And unfortunately, it's everybody.
Do you believe they have the ability to honestly get this ship right this season? This season?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. That's where I feel like, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I feel like we'll get this for the next 3 hours and 53 minutes. I feel like this fan base, this market, everybody feels like who's kidding who?
Yeah.
This thing isn't getting righted this season. There's no greatness. Okay, that was dumb to begin with. There's not going to be a great season.
It's not even good.
It's not get right, and it's going as they said in, you know, to date myself in one of my all-time favorite movies, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way.
And here's the problem. What's so frustrating in watching this product that's out there is it's one phase of the game that's killing it. Special teams, legit. Can they get more success in the return game? Yes.
Return game needs to be better. Kicking game needs to be better. Punting is off the charts. Best in the league.
Right.
Coverage is fine, but return, like, honestly, that return game, you know what I blurted out loud? Honest to God, you were there. The 42-yard right out of the gates, I was like, where's that? Where is that? When's the last time we've seen a Titans return like that?
Yeah.
When's the last time we've seen that?
And that's when you had to get, you know.
And that's right out of the gates. Yeah. It puts them in field. Yeah. Right, they're in great position. Start off the game.
But I'm going to say overall special teams has been solid. Okay. Yeah. Recent memory bias. Yeah, we're going to say because of the Carlos Santos issue and yesterday the long return. But overall special teams has been solid. The defense.
No one's gonna question the defense.
What do they have to do?
Nothing.
They're doing their job.
Hold them scoreless, which is ridiculous.
They have to score.
By the
themselves.
Way, that still doesn't guarantee a win, right? Because the offense will have to score, even if they hold them scoreless.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this, salute Kenny Vaccaro, because I talked to him yesterday and I was just like straight up, hey, Kenny, man, what are you thinking when you see this out there? And he said point blank, like he wouldn't point fingers. He said, we as a defense have to be better. And I'm like, bro, you gave up 16 points. He said,
they've given up 30 in 2 weeks.
He said, it's our job to keep the opposing offense from scoring more than our offense does. And then he said, I don't care if we have to be the 85 Bears, the 2000 Ravens. And I know Titans fans are going to say, hey, well, the 2000 Titans defense was better. Listen, everybody remembers the 2000 Ravens. Let's focus
both
on the
both those
point.
Defenses were the best in the
but
league.
But that being said, he said that's the standard that they have to have. You know what I mean? And he said, if it's going to be a 0-0 tie, it's going to have to be a 0-0 tie.
I applaud Kenny Vaccaro for saying that. He's a great dude. Everybody enjoys being around him and what he's brought to the table. To know that he was out on the street for the Titans just to pick up in training camp last offseason is amazing. But hats off to him, but who's kidding who? No, they're not the 85 Bears. They're not going to be the 85 Bears. They're not going to be the 2000 Ravens. They're not going to be a Seahawks defense, if we want to reference defenses.
What do you want them to say?
I know.
Well,
but
the offense has to score more points. Like,
honestly,
they're not going to do that.
It has to be the right person. to say something like that. Like, it has to be a Kevin Byard or a Jarrell Casey or some. But I do want them to call out the offense. I think they need that.
You were there. That to us. Did Byard kind of do that yesterday and then catch himself? Did I hear that? I mean, Porth, do we have the Byard? Did I kind of – I kind of felt like – I know you're working the room.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Byard started to go there and then was like, whoa, pulled it back. Realize what he was saying?
There's no doubt there's frustration.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're just doing a good job of not releasing that frustration to us.
Yeah.
I would love to see what's going on behind closed doors, though.
Right. I mean, look, everybody wants to start the quarterback conversation with Marcus is a great guy. He is. But we're in week 6 of year 5. He got benched. The conversation's over in my mind. He's not the guy. He's never going to be the guy. And so it's time to stop tiptoeing around it. From the team standpoint, and just say, hey, we have to figure this out now. It's on John Robinson. It's on Mike Vrabel. It's on Amy Adams-Strunk. It's on everybody over there to figure this out, because I understand the frustration of the fan base. They have every right to be frustrated. Mm-hmm. You got to fix it now. And I don't think Tannehill is going to be the long-term solution, but, no. I mean, it's now you have to start thinking, all right, well, we're probably going to be drafting a quarterback. So you kind of have to start thinking that way.
Where are they going to pick?
That's the problem.
You know what I mean? And then who's going to be there?
Hopefully 10 or 12, because that's where Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes were drafted. So maybe that'll be
a good luck charm. But remember, the Chiefs traded up to get
him. They did. You're right. They traded up to get him.
I tell you this much. I get the Titans fans are upset, but, you know, I would look at what the Bears did trading up to get Trubisky's and That was a bad move, too.
Yeah.
No, overlooking Watson.
I mean, look at the – yeah, look who was taken before those guys. Yeah, no Trubisky. Question. Yeah. Adam, up in Portland. Adam, what's up?
What's up, buddy? All right, so I've got a problem. And, man, I listened to the morning show, and I was just getting fired up, and I decided not to call them because I didn't want to say anything that you know, that I have a problem with them the whole time. You know, like, I just wanted to call myself – call in collectively. What is everybody's problem with Tannehill? I'm sick of it. Like, Ooh. Dude comes in off the bench in a game where he's down 2 touchdowns and hasn't even been given an opportunity to practice with these guys and still misses 3 passes. Yeah, he threw a pick. It was at the end of the game. Like, Jesus, what do you expect from him? Like, give him a shot. He was a legit quarterback at one point. Y'all act like he's Gabbert. He's not. Okay, I understand we may have to draft him, and I know why they were hesitant to make the move, because everybody's job hinders on one of these quarterbacks working. But you haven't even given Tannehill a chance, man. Let him practice with these dudes. If you couldn't see that he looked clearly better, then you're blind. You don't even need to watch football. He looked clearly better. Give him a chance. Everybody get behind him. Our division sucks. Houston's okay. We will have them twice at the end of the year. We got 2 home games to get to 500. Jesus, I mean, I'm a season ticket holder, man. I'm behind them. I don't understand why people can't get behind this quarterback.
Okay. Thank you, Adam. I will just quickly – you're there, so I'm going to let you answer it and Chase weigh in. Just my quick thoughts. Did Tannehill blow everybody away? Of course not. And he got sacked 4 times. Okay, but it's easy to say, well, nothing really changed. They didn't score. I get it. The one thing that really stood out to me, is he looked like he had a plan. He was decisive. He looked like he was going through reads. He looked like when the ball was snapped, Tannehill knew what he was going to do with the ball. That's just my impressions of what I saw.
I'll give Tannehill that. He was more decisive. However, what we have to also remember, if you're looking at this game that happened yesterday, a lot of that was a different form of defense that was being played, right? They started to play a little bit looser.
Sure. They're in control.
It was different. So
Lindsey scored that touchdown,
let's go apples to apples, okay?
Okay.
And I will say the ball came out quicker, right? He hit Corey Davis on that 5-yard mm-hmm. out. He hit A.J. Brown on the quick slant. A.J. got the yards after the catch. He was called back, P.I., et cetera. I'll say the ball came out quicker, but that's what Tannehill does. He's typically a guy who will check it down, you know, or go with the quick passing game, but – I'll tell you why a lot of people have given up on Tannehill before the thing even started. The Dolphins paid millions of dollars.
For him to go away.
For him to go away.
Yeah.
Right.
Teams don't let good quarterbacks go away. So that's something you have to consider. And even when Tannehill was playing well, he always had those same issues. As he and Marcus Mariota are very similar quarterbacks in that they have like that Alex Smith syndrome in them where they play safe football, right? And with this defense, like you just regardless, you can't play safe. You got to take shots. And especially a team that relies so much on running the football like the Titans do, you got to take shots. If you look at that game, there were multiple times I counted where the safeties were within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. Daggone. Go deep. Give me one deep shot. Play action, max protection. Corey Davis, I need you to beat Devontae Harris, who is a guy that wasn't even on the team in September. I need you to beat him. We're going to go max protection so you could do that. I need you to beat him. They didn't give that. Like that didn't
happen.
Looked
very predictable on offense. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Very predictable.
They couldn't run the football. Denver sold out to stop the run.
And they did it.
Why wouldn't you against the Titans?
Yeah. Exactly.
Because that's the only bright spot they have on offense right now, and that starts with the quarterback. So, yeah, listen, he threw his first two interceptions of the year yesterday because he actually had to throw it and not be conservative. And so they were able to pick him off.
That second one is just inexcusable.
No, of course it was.
That's year five, a quarterback in that spot. Right after you come off the interception.
I know.
Right after Byard picks a ball off somebody's back. That year five, game six, that play, what are you doing throwing that ball?
The thing is, and this is my problem with the way Mariota is evaluated. He's darned if he does, darned if he doesn't.
Yeah.
Because he takes a sack, everybody's like, oh, well, you got to give your guys a chance to make a play. Like, how do you take that? Well, he does that. He throws a ball. He trusts Darius Jennings to go up and high point the ball, you know, in a contested catch situation, and Justin Simmons comes down with it. No slight on DJ, Darius Jennings. But Simmons made a better play in the interception. But it's just like, what does this guy have to do? He finally takes the shot that everybody says do, and then he gets benched. So it's just
I don't disagree with that. It's Marcus. Probably 4 years and six games. That's why, because it's a lot.
Do we count the first year?
You know what I mean? It's just because that's all everybody's seen, and that's why you don't get you don't really get the benefit of the doubt when.
I'm not even saying give the man the benefit of the doubt. He did on that play. He did what so many people ask him to do. Take a shot. What did I just knock him on? Being safe.
Right.
He took a shot. He trust his guy to make a play. It didn't happen. The opposing defense, he made a play. It's just I don't know what the guy has
honestly,
to do.
If I'm going to throw that ball up, it's going to be to A.J. Brown or Corey Davis, not Darius Jennings. If I'm going to make that throw,
go back
and
look at the play. Like, how do you know that they weren't more covered than Jennings was?
I'm just saying, if I'm going to make that high risk throw, it's going to be Corey Davis to go up and get it, not Darius Jennings, in my opinion.
You're sitting there in the comfort of your couch.
I know.
You know what they said? Hey, it's a great place.
It's a great place to be. It doesn't pay well, but it's a great place to be.
I don't trash him for that play. Because like I said, you know, he finally did on that play what so many people pound the table for him to do. Me personally, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Get Marcus up out of here. Not because, he needs to change the scenery.
Yeah,
he needs to change, right? You know, he's like, I don't think he could succeed here. It's time to figure things out.
I don't think he's going to succeed anywhere else.
I bet
for you, people that think that he did, well, I disagree.
Man, I bet you put him in a better scheme. Nah. I bet you. Yeah,
we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, we could talk about.
We'll talk about that on the other side. A lot more. Also, your phone calls welcome. 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport in with us the first hour. He's just fresh off a flight from Denver, then heading over to the facility. 11:30 press conference today. More coming on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Two in a row for the Broncos. Meanwhile, for Tennessee, that's going to be a long flight home and a lot to think about for the Titans. Final score, Denver wins 16-0.
And we have a job to do. We have a job to prepare each and every week, and we get one chance a week to go out and perform. I put that coaching and a preparation to test against another team, and that's what we have to do. It's
It's a long season, and the only way you get out of this is to fight and practice and prepare and then obviously execute. Because you had a bad day, you take
one down, you sing a sad song. It was a bad day in Denver. There's no doubt about it.
Well done, Park.
16-0. Good job. Good job, Ryan. I don't know how you can sum it up any better. 7 sacks given up. Of course, a very prolific Denver defense. I mean, they're right there with the Ravens of 2085 Bears. Oh, wait a minute. They had 5 sacks the previous week and 7 sacks yesterday, and that's the only sacks they've had this season.
I knew it was going to be a long day in the second quarter when Marcus had to run for his life on a 2-man pass rush.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's when there were a lot of other people going, ruh-roh.
Unbelievable. Good.
What's amazing is of those 7 sacks, Von Miller only had half a sack. Like he didn't. I mean, you still have to respect Von Miller, as we've talked about.
Did you guys see what Derek Wolfe did to Nate Davis?
We were going to get to that.
Davis. Yeah, dial that 800 that's number.
I went. That's what I did when that happened. I did that in my living room.
That was bad. And what I say on Chasing TD, Derek Wolfe was my player to watch, man.
He was.
That's a grown man up front. He was an issue. But here's the thing. Tannehill was sacked 4 times. Mariota was sacked 3 times. Mariota is on the sideline. Tannehill got sacked 4 times. Is that Marcus's fault?
No.
I would say no.
Listen, there's a lot of blame to go around. And I put a lot on the quarterback, but the offensive line is just garbage. That's just what it is right now. And I said to you guys before the show, and I've said this before, of did you really get it wrong 5 times? Is it the 5 individuals on the offensive line? Is it coaching? I don't know. I really don't know the answer. If it's Keith Carter or Mike Sullivan or whatever it is, then you got to address that. But if it's just you have 5 guys playing individual football and not playing as a unit, that's a problem too.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of issues with this offense, and it starts up front. It goes to the quarterback. It's on Marcus too. Not making excuses for him, but the offensive line definitely deserves their share of the blame.
What I saw yesterday was a complete failure top to bottom
from
everything associated with the offense, period. Right? You know, from Mike Vrabel to Arthur Smith to the offensive line, the receivers, right? There were times where they didn't get open.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get that separation, right? That was an issue. I mean, everything. It was just – that was really, really bad football offensively last night. And you look at what the defense did, and man, like, it's just like, what more can the defense do? What more can they? They're
doing their job though.
It's disgusting.
I feel bad for those guys. If you're gonna feel bad for anybody on the Titans, it's gonna be the defense, because they're going out and they're doing what they're supposed to do. It's kind of like a group project in school where you have like 5 people in the group project and you have those 2 that they're not doing anything, but they get the A because they're a part of the group.
Yeah,
the defense, they're doing everything. They're doing all the work.
What would you say was the worst game of the season last year?
That Ravens game, and I'm not even going. Yeah,
the Ravens okay. Game.
We're all in agreement. Quickly, right?
Yeah.
You remember the one that was last year?
It was around now, wasn't it?
Week 6.
Yeah,
exactly the same time as last year. So maybe they should just take a new approach in week 6, because week 6 have not been good under Mike Vrabel.
Well, I mean,
2 worst games, and it's going to be difficult to top this one for this year. I mean, I think we all knew. Once we saw that Ravens game, that's going to be the worst game of the year. So this one is probably going to be the worst game of the year. So what did they do after Baltimore? Guess who was next?
Was that Buffalo?
No.
Buffalo was before that, right?
There's a theme, guys. There's a theme.
Chargers in London, right?
Chargers in London. Guess who's up next? They're not in London. Chargers are up next.
The organization that historically they have struggled with, that one?
Phillip Rivers, Phillip Rivers owns the Titans. It is not good.
And by the way, if you watched last night on Sunday Night Football, the Chargers aren't very good either. Anthony Lynn should be nervous.
And that's the thing. You know, the Chargers aren't good right now.
Right.
So it could be a good medicine for this team to get back on track. Or not even get back on track, because I don't think you could get back on track with one game. I think you could take a step in the right direction. But you mentioned this game being hard to top. You know who's coming here in a little bit,
right?
I know. Whether Teddy B is under center.
Which one are you talking about? New Orleans, Kansas City? Which game are you talking about?
I'm talking about New Orleans, because at least New Orleans got a defense.
Yeah, they're winning the Super Bowl. The Pope already blessed them, so they're winning the Super Bowl.
Okay. All
right, man, look. This year could get really ugly. Really ugly. Yeah. Really ugly.
Well,
and that goes back to what we said at the beginning. Like, that's the problem right now, is I think everybody today is going, is this going to get fixed? Probably not. I would say most people are like, this is not getting fixed.
This isn't even 9-7 right now.
Oh, good Lord, no.
Yeah, 9-7 would be a huge accomplishment.
So you brought up, okay, where do you pick? Where are you going to be picking? The way this is going?
This feels like this what? 6-10 season? 6-10?
All right, so let's do this.
Is that being too positive? I don't know.
So you go 6-10, okay? I would assume, and this is provided that Tua comes out. This is provided that the other Oregon quarterback comes out. Those guys will probably be off the board. Who do you take? I mean, everybody is pounding the table for Marcus Mariota to move on from him. You know, who do you take to replace him?
Well, I mean, there's going to be Fromm, there's going to be Burrow, there's going to be Herbert. I know. It's not good.
Did you see what Fromm did on Saturday?
Not a good week to bring Fromm up.
Okay, and so let's throw that one out. Who else do you take?
I wouldn't take an Oregon quarterback. I know that.
Herbert.
Who else do you take?
I'm not taking Herbert.
I like Joe Burrow, but is he an NFL quarterback?
Who else do you take? Because we ran through. So who else?
I'm not taking Hurts.
Why?
Because can't throw.
Okay. Who else? Jordan Love, you think? Mm. Utah State?
Maybe.
Who do you take?
Who do you take? I mean, we're doing this exercise basically to say, are they better than what you already have? Okay, so what do? You're not going to – I mean, are you going to sign Mariota and stick with him long term? Are you going to stick with Tannehill long term? I don't think either of those options are good.
They have this beautiful thing up there called a franchise tag. Go with it.
No. You can't.
Who do you take? Again, that's because we spent a couple minutes. Who do you take?
Honestly, I'm not in draft mode.
Would Teddy Bridgewater be better?
Who?
Would Teddy Bridgewater be better?
Will he be available?
I think Teddy B would probably be better.
But will he be available?
Now, if Drew Brees retires, then he's probably not available.
I mean, if I ran 4.3 instead of 4.5, guess what? I wouldn't be here talking. Well, I'm 43, so I would be here talking. Never mind. But
you'd be like D-Mace.
I'm not going to answer your question because I have scouting friends and I talk to and I rely on their info because they go see these guys and they know what it takes to play at the next level. Because I don't get wrapped up in college. Like, I don't get wrapped up. Did you watch his game Saturday? Well, guess what? That doesn't always translate to the NFL. That's not how it works. Okay? So I need to talk to my scouting friends, which I haven't done, full disclosure.
Did you talk to your scouting friends about this harsh moving on from Mariota?
Chase?
I'm asking. It's a question. There's a question mark behind
it. I've been talking about this for years.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been very consistent with my message.
Yeah.
Even when people were like, it's way too early for this. And I'm like, well, I'm just telling you what I see. And I see a guy that's not your franchise quarterback.
My question was, did you talk to your scouting friends about this moving on from Mariota?
Oh, no. I have not. Okay. No. Right. The topic that we're talking about? No. Okay. I have not.
I'm just curious.
You can't do it again, Teron. You can't. You cannot do this again.
What do you do?
People make decisions. You find another guy. I mean, could it be worse? You think there's no other option that would be better?
It could definitely be worse.
Well,
really?
You could be Miami.
You could be Washington.
Of course. Well, Washington thinks they've drafted their next guy. They think.
Do they?
Well, they just had.
They signed Alex Smith, who was hurt. Can't control that. They tried to get their next guy, okay. Right? Colt McCoy's hurt. They got all these guys hurt.
Let's not tap dance around what's going on. It could be Washington. Would you prefer Washington or Tennessee.
No one will prefer Washington. They're a messed up organization.
My point remains. It can be worse.
I mean, sure, it could, but this has to get fixed.
Here's my thing with Marcus, and I agree it's time to move on, but I think it's time to move on for a collection of reasons. Because at this point right now, Marcus Mariota, that pool of water right outside of St. Thomas Sports Park.
I would not advise swimming in.
He could sprint across that.
Yo, he could.
Literally run on top of it.
You can.
And you know what people will say? What that going, man? Why you didn't swim through it? The dude cannot do anything right at all. And that's the problem. He's at a point now where people are just, and I get it, you have years of pent-up frustration. So no matter what, it doesn't seem like you're going to look to him and say, you know what? There's something. He shows something. There's something to pull out of it. And I think that's the issue, is that he and this franchise, that marriage has been so bad for the time that he's been here. It's just time to move on. But I'm just saying, if you move on, you have to understand that there are going to be – it's like a divorce, right? I never got divorced. I don't ever plan to get divorced. But I know people who have, and there was a transition period before they were happy again. So you have to understand, we're sitting here upset.
Right, but when you get divorced, you don't have to have a plan. You just know that what you have is not working. You don't necessarily
have a plan.
No, you don't. You just know that you need to get out of the relationship that you're in.
Are you saying that from experience?
No, I'm not.
I know people, and I know people who had a plan, and I know people who didn't have a plan.
I've been with my wife 14 years, so no, I don't know. I'm just saying.
14 years? I got you. I got you.
Do you?
I've been with mine 15. Baby. Topper. I love you, Erica.
Fucking topper. We'll come back. More with Teron Davenport. He's going to mic drop on that. He's going to stick around, though. Joe, Tristan, we'll get to you on the other side. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I mean, was it inaccurate today? Didn't give our guys a chance to make plays. And obviously that's some of the reasons why I got pulled. I got to do a better job. And, it's being able to convert third downs, complete passes, getting the rhythm. That's solely on me.
Marcus Mariota, 7 for 18, 63 yards, 2 picks, first 2 of the year, sacked 3 times, and a 9.5 quarterback rating. Out of 95.
9.5
quarterback rating. Joe, welcome into Darren, Donnick, and Chase. And TD. Joe, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in. I've been listening to the radio, and I just think the problem with this organization is the organization itself as far as internally with the coaching, because this is the same Marcus Mariota 2 years ago that won a playoff game under Mike Mularkey. This is the same Marcus Mariota that took a no-name Oregon team and made them somebody. And I think that this decision, which Vrabel made to basically bench Mariota, was absolutely stupid, given the fact that this is his last year, given the fact that this is probably the head coach he's had, fifth offensive coach. I mean, this organization has totally destroyed this guy. I mean,
So with that being said, why would you keep a guy in that you just admitted the organization has totally destroyed? So you keep a quarterback in who's totally destroyed your words?
They destroyed him as far as their career. And, yes, I would keep him in, and I would get rid of my coaches, because here's the thing. When you've got a top talent like that coming out of college into your organization, it is your responsibility to make sure you put the people around him to give yourself success. And they didn't do that. Look at all the head coaches. Look at all the offensive coordinators. Look at what they had to put around this guy. And honestly tell me that they gave him a chance.
We all agreed going into the season, this is the most talent they've ever put around him. There are no more excuses.
I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the coaches. Mike Mularkey had this team winning and won a playoff game. The offensive coordinator had
a fluky playoff game.
Do what?
They won. They won the game, but you can't go back and watch that game and tell me that it was great coaching that won them that game. There was a lot of luck involved in them winning.
luck, whatever. They won. And you can't honestly tell me that Kansas City wasn't a better team than the Titans right there. And they lost, what, one player, Kelsey? One player doesn't make the team.
They kind of went downhill after that. But, look, you're trying to absolve Mariota in this, and he's got to take some of the blame. There's no way you can just say it's not Mariota's fault. It's all coaching. I'm just not willing to go there.
It was a collective failure. Yeah. And you know what? I appreciate your comments, Joe, but, you know, I'm going to be honest. That needed to happen yesterday. That benching had to happen. That offense was abysmal.
It probably did, and I'm hoping that maybe this will, I don't know, ring the bell or something in Mariota's head, because we can all agree that he's not been playing well this season or hasn't been playing well. We can agree with that. But we also can agree that the coaching staff and everything around him hasn't been solid or consistent. And that could be the reason why the inconsistencies have been on the field, because the office itself is inconsistent.
Joe?
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Look, nobody is going to argue the coaching has been good this year. We've talked about it. I mean, I have questioned Mike Vrabel every single week this season. Minus the first week, I have questioned him every single week. Yep. Starting in Jacksonville with why in the world was Adoree Jackson back there returning punts? We can all point out the missteps and what we believe everybody was on the same page of going, what is he doing? So I'm certainly not going to defend the coaching. I also thought, while we've praised Arthur Smith, I feel like the last couple of weeks they have been very predictable, very predictable. I've talked to a couple of former players that tell me they know what the Titans are going to do. That's a problem. If they know watching, that means probably the coaches who study them, the opposition, know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, it's a collective failure. Now, Joe makes a good point, though, when he says ring the bell. And my thing is, I think this – I look at it a little bit different. I feel that Mike Vrabel needs to give Mariota the first quarter of this upcoming game. And I think with that quarter, you look at it, you see how he's playing. Because sometimes when – you go through something like what he went through, it can spark a change of mindset. Let's be honest. What else does Marcus have to lose, right? So my thing is, we always talk about Marcus Mariota playing better when he's in a pressure-packed situation, whether it be third downs, whether it be fourth quarter. So I want to see how he responds to this. That's what I want to see. And I would like to see him get an opportunity to respond and really, you know, completely indict himself or reassure himself as a guy that they could work with.
But at what point, though, does Mike Vrabel start have to thinking about his career and his job? I mean, giving Mariota a chance for a quarter to see how he responds, okay, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But then if you have to bench him again, then you have to get up and explain, well, why did you just give him another shot when you knew what the result was going
to
be?
Well, that's a part of coaching. As a coach, it is your job to figure out what buttons work with particular guys. For some guys, they just go out there and they're ready to rock, right? But other guys, they have to go through something before they get to be that aggressive guy that's ready to go and you know, doesn't care about the results. He's just going to go at it, and he has one way to go, and that's 100%. There are different buttons that you have to push, because my thing is, if it works, you know, great. If it doesn't, okay, we're right back where we were a quarter in. Tannehill, get in there, make something happen.
Tristan, you're up next. Welcome in.
Thank you for taking my call. You just don't draft quarterbacks from Oregon. Oregon quarterbacks have never succeeded in the NFL. Marcus is awful and, like, just suck for Trevor Lawrence for just suck next year and then go get Trevor Lawrence for the 2021st draft. So that would be the best option. Get draft Joe Burrow from LSU. Joe Burrow is a great passer and Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama is not that great of a quarterback, and Jalen Hurts, he's more of a wide receiver in the NFL. And, I would never trust an Oregon quarterback. Jacob Eason would be a quarterback that I would trust.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Tristan.
Jalen Hurts is more of a wide receiver in the NFL. Man, why did you cut that call off sooner than that, man? Heck is this dude talking about?
Well, you wouldn't have heard the Jalen Hurts part if I called it, if I cut him off earlier.
I'm saying that he should have been cut off after he said that foolishness. Come on, man.
Jalen Hurts is, I mean, who knows what he can be in the NFL, but he's shown us that he's still got something, and he's in the right offense. And it is all about, with quarterbacks especially, as you all know, it's about being in the right system. So will I give Marcus that he has been broken, maybe beyond repair, going through all the systems and everything that he's gone through with the Titans? Okay, I'll give you that. Maybe there's a change of scenery could do something for him. Okay, that doesn't help this team. Because at this point, as much as I like Marcus, I don't really care about him. I want this to work with this team, and it's not working with this team.
I think to your quarter part, I just, you know, that spark, I mean, the spark should have been, he went into his fifth year with no contract. Everybody knew what was at stake. The spark was already there, and we all agreed that this was the best talent that they've ever put around him on offense. That's what we all agreed before we saw it, right?
Because they took excuses away.
So we but all
are,
said
are they
excuses.
Maximizing that talent? Are
I'm
they
just
maximizing
saying,
the talent?
At this point, don't you want to at least see what – I mean, look, it may look exactly the same with Tannehill. It may get
the
worse.
The season doesn't end one quarter into the Chargers game.
I know, but don't you want to at least see what Tannehill –
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have, if that quarter doesn't work, you have second, third, and fourth quarter of week seven. And guess what else you got?
So you've benched him 2 weeks in a row. So how do you play that out the rest of the year?
You bench him 2 weeks in a row because you know what? This is the benching. This is it. Now we're going to go to Tannehill. Hey, listen, Ryan, I'm telling you right now, you better play football. We're going to stick with you. You're our guy. Let's make it happen and make it work.
What if it doesn't? Then what do you do? Go back to Mariota?
You just.
I'm just saying, have you made your bed?
You're completely saying that there's no chance Mariota could be good. So, you know what?
Can there be, Teron? It's been 5 years. How can you say that he's just all of a sudden going to turn around and be good?
See, this you're taking out of context. I'm not saying all of a sudden he's going to be good. I'm saying give this man one quarter to see how he responds to this adversity that he's never gone through. You're gonna know, okay, 100% sure. All right, you know what? I'm done. I'm cutting ties. Or you're going to know, hey, you know what? We might have something. Let's look at this. He responded well. Let's look at this. Again, I don't get this whole rush to say, okay, you know what? Tannehill, you know what? He could do it. I know he could do it. I don't get the rush to say that.
Do you firmly believe that if you give him if you say, you know what? Last week was last week. We're going to give him another shot. He's going to get. And you don't say it publicly, but in your mind, he's going to get the first quarter. Do you firmly believe he'll respond to that and he'll fix whatever it is and he'll play better?
I don't firmly believe that. I just firmly believe that I firmly believe that it would be in their best interest to see how he responds to this adversity.
When you say – and we're going to get back to the phone, so just hang with us. When you say, because I don't have a list in front of me. It's October, man. I haven't started doing the deep dive into the draft, man. The draft is a long ways away.
What you want?
You know what I'd like to see? And I realized last night other things happened. Defense was a big part. I just want to see other teams are able to do this. And, why have they been able to? Why can Pittsburgh throw in their fourth-string quarterback, Devin Hodges? Because that's what he was. He was their fourth-string quarterback. They traded Dobbs.
Guess who they played?
And I realized
guess
the
who they
defense.
Played?
The defense had a lot
guess
to do with it.
Guess who the Titans played?
But they
the
went
Chargers.
Into L.A. and they just beat down the Chargers with Devlin Hodges.
Do you think it's difficult to go it's into like, L.A.?
In a soccer stadium, yes. They are loud. They got flags and they sing and they have drums.
Guess what they're loud? Guess what they're loud about? The Steelers. Guess what the flags are? I've seen it personally. I saw the Chargers come out at that stadium.
Well, I remember the Philadelphia game last year.
I was there. That's not a tough environment. You make a good point. If my man, Devin Hodges, if he could go out and do well against the Chargers, why can't
it's
Mariota?
Like
so
Carolina hasn't missed a beat. Cam Newton was 0-2, and they throw in an undrafted guy,
New Orleans.
And they are undefeated. Drew Brees, first ballot Hall of Famer, goes down. Teddy Bridgewater has stepped in, and they haven't missed a beat. I just want that to happen here. Why can't that happen here? Why?
I don't think I don't think it's only on Mariota.
Why can other teams do it, but it doesn't happen here? Why?
I don't think that's only on Mariota.
I bet if we polled people right now and said, we'll give you a prize, Carolina starting quarterback, people would be like, Cam Newton?
People have already tweeted at me to trade for Cam Newton, which I think he's a free agent at the end of this year. But still, I don't think Cam Newton fixes all your problems. The thing that ticks me off the most is they did sign better talent and they've put more talent around him, but then clearly they haven't gotten the offensive line right. So now he has yet another excuse that, he doesn't have any protection, which he doesn't. So I can't argue with that. Like, he doesn't have protection.
There were times he had protection and failed. So the offensive line isn't an excuse.
It's not. Doug, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm all about, a guy being a good guy and no trouble, no issues. I mean, he's not a Ryan Lee. But this is not the first time a Heisman Trophy college quarterback or some guys that were Heisman Trophy-esque in the top three running at quarterbacks that don't make it in the NFL. Ryan Lee didn't make it. Colt McCoy didn't make it. He's a bench guy. RG3 didn't make it. Not the first time. Sometimes it just doesn't fit. And you can complain about his offensive line. You know what? He's a dude that's supposed to be like Michael Vick. He's supposed to take off and run, save himself. But no, he doesn't. He's also not progressing as a quarterback. So why do we keep hanging on to him? He's a good guy, but he's not the first Heisman hopeful, mentionable quarterback that doesn't make it in the NFL. It just happens that he landed in Nashville. Hey, let's just take our licks and move on.
Thank you, Doug. And he's right. It's not the first Heisman to fail at the next level. Let's go to Robert. Robert,
morning.
What's up?
Morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
What's up?
All right. Okay. I'm calling you guys because as a Titans fans, we want some real answers. I just want someone to cut the chase and tell us what's going on. I don't listen to the mumbo-jumbo talk that they've been doing. I watch action. And the action is stating that there's something going on over there in that facility on Titans Way. Can somebody please tell us fans the truth?
Okay, what are you getting at? What are you hinting at, Robert? What are you seeing?
I mean, just look at them, Darren. The body language, there's no arousement about them. They're flat. They just dull, like they don't want to play. Adoree Jackson has not lost his mojo. What's going on in their facility? Y'all just be honest with them.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to call Jared because, I mean, I know Jared will probably give me the truth. But I'm calling you guys to ask you guys, what's really going on?
Okay.
Tell us.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Well, you're over there all the time. So you're around these guys the time.
He's right. They have been very flat on offense the last 2 weeks. Adoree losing his mojo? I don't think so. He had a textbook defensive play.
Outstanding.
On Courtland
Sutton. I can't hate on him.
And then the tackle that he made, it was the play where Rashawn Evans got hurt. Adoree is playing ball.
Yep. Yeah.
Leave that alone.
I thought he was really good.
He has definitely gotten better from what, when you and I started chasing TD and I was ready to cut him. So.
The problem is offense is flat. He was 100% right about that. They don't have that spark. They don't have that mojo, that moxie that you need as an offense.
I'm not going to speak for these guys, but I can feel just like, because I've seen every snap since Mariota's been the quarterback. I feel like Delanie Walker, that frustration. I mean, some of those throws yesterday, it's like, you got to be – I mean, Deion, this is a screen. I mean, he couldn't hit a screen pass. Delanie Walker has to always fall down to try to make a catch.
It was a
I'm sure Delanie gets up and is like, what the hell do I have to do to get a ball even close to
he
me?
He missed Delanie on a seam.
Now, has Delanie had a couple drops? Yes, they all did. But you know what I mean? I feel like there's some of that going on. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. It's just, like I said, it's a total failure.
Or they're open and he gets sacked. It's like the offensive line. It's like one thing if he's either missing or he gets sacked and it's the offensive line. Why don't you guys give him one more second?
That's the problem. Right. It's a hodgepodge of issues. That's the problem.
But to his point, that could be what's, going on behind the scenes. I mean, there could be a lot of there should be frustration, right? One more. Freddie, what's up?
Well, guys, y'all just took the mojo from me. I need to ask y'all a question. In a successful football team, you got to have a successful offensive line and a defensive line. But do you think a quarterback could be shell-shocked some for the fact that he has been sacked so many darn times? I mean, come on, 22 times in 5 games, and most of it coming from a pole to be pro bowler and left tackle. Every time you get your offensive line pushed back in your quarterback's face, you can see what you can do. So that's a comment I wanted to make, guys. I appreciate talking
all
to
right.
y'all.
Thank you, Freddie. Can a guy get shell-shocked in this league? Yeah. Not yeah, but hell yeah. That's David Carr.
Yeah, excellent example.
I mean, quite honestly, that's what the Texans are trying to do to prevent that happening to their great quarterback, Deshaun Watson,
he's
after
different.
Last year.
He's different.
I know, he's different. I know he's different.
He's built different.
But I'm saying, last year, that could have gone south in a hurry. I mean, he can't take 76 sacks again, you know, in back-to-back years. He's been outstanding, by the way. That was a nice win. Good job by you, too, by the way. Coming right in from Denver. Look at you.
Hey, listen, man.
Altitude didn't affect you.
No.
TD, good to see you.
Good to see you, too,
man. He's heading over to the facility.
We'll enjoy the press conference today.
I don't know.
Tell Mike we said hi.
I don't know if the head coach is going to enjoy it, but we will play that live at 11:30. We'll come back. More phone calls, more discussion. Hour number two of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Hour number two, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Monday morning. Appreciate Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans, for joining us first hour. He had just hopped off a plane just around the corner from the studio, came over here and hung out with us first hour talking about the game yesterday, the shutout loss in Denver against the Broncos. Next up, the Chargers here. Remember, a later kickoff on Sunday, so it'll be the 3:05?
Yeah. Yes.
3:05 kickoff, which is interesting. Normally, home games, it's been a while. I don't remember. Very rarely do you get the later kickoff here, but that'll be the case on Sunday. Mike Vrabel's press conference at the bottom of the hour. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Willie D. We'll check in with him out in Vegas a little bit later in the show. Ryan Porth behind the glass. We continue to talk about what happened yesterday as this team now is off to a 2-4 start after scoring 7 against the Bills and 0 against the Broncos. And if you think about the Falcons' second half, no points in the second half after dominating them in the first half. You remember we talked about that.
Yep.
We talked about that heavily on that Monday show. Would have liked to have seen a little bit more, maybe getting a little more, everything's okay, just so you know.
Yeah, because guess what's happened
since then? In control, just, you know, it's in control, just run out the clock. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because guess what's happened since then?
So when you think about those two quarters and the last six quarters, so that's 8 quarters, they've scored 7 points.
Yeah.
These last two games, I feel like we've watched the 2014 or 2015 Titans.
Yeah. And I don't put everything on Arthur Smith. I think his play calling yesterday was definitely his worst game as the OC. Since becoming the OC, I would say. So I think there's some things, obviously, he needs to work on. But everything's always going to go back to the quarterback. That's where everything starts. Offensive line, sure, it needs to be better. Receivers, you need to make better plays. Delanie Walker last week should have caught that pass on third down. Nobody's denying that. But you always, at the end of the day, come back to Marcus Mariota, that this offense could be so much more than it is, and I just think they're limited, whether it's his fault or not. That's just the way it is, and I believe it's truly time to move on.
Let's go to Jim. Jim's been waiting patiently. Jim, what's up?
Yes, I'd like to talk about our problems, and my feeling is that the problem is much higher. If we go back and look at the draft choices are the deals that weren't made. Mack ended up going from Oakland to the Bears. Cooper ended up going from Oakland to the Cowboys, and that turned Dak around. Sue has gone to Tampa Bay. I think we're looking for Sunday school boys instead of football players. I understand the frustration and everybody piling on Mariota, but it's not Mariota. You have a general manager who has brought in almost a rookie head coach. He's been here 2 years, but he was a rookie when he came in. He had never been a head coach before. You've got an OC who has never been an OC before and had never called plays before. But all of a sudden, I don't know where the offensive line coach came from, but all of a sudden, everybody is piling on Mariota. if the offensive line doesn't give him time to even look downfield, why are you beating up on him when there are people above him who have not set the record, have not set people in place above him to make him successful?
Okay, we'll talk about it, Jim. Thank you for the phone call. Look, nobody is sitting here saying that Mariota is all to blame. Of course, no. Coaching is a problem. We've talked about that. Quite honestly, I'm taken back a little bit when I go back and think about that first ever press conference when there was a little bit of some subtle shots directed at the previous staff and Mike Mularkey and Terry Rubisky. And now that we look back, look, is Mike Mularkey the greatest coach we've ever seen? No. But you know what? When you make a move coming off a season like that, whatever you think of him, you better make damn sure that you're getting this one right, because it's not like it's a franchise that's been littered with playoff series after playoff series, playoff victory after playoff victory. The last time they had won a playoff game was 0-3 before that win in Kansas City. 0-3. Okay, that was in 2017.
Our morning show co-host was still playing.
It was actually technically 2018, if you want to be technical.
Our afternoon show co-host was still the GM.
So when you make that move, and I remember Mike Vrabel and John Robinson basically, like I said, taking subtle shots of, we're going to do things differently with Marcus Mariota, unlike the previous staff. Not in those words, but subtle shots that we all picked up on. Well, guess what?
It hasn't looked better.
It hasn't. It's gotten worse. Okay, it's gotten worse. And so, and then you come out with the silly mantra, which we said all along was dumb. I mean, that's stuff you do in, you know, that's stuff you do in college when you're at Western Michigan and you row the boat, right? You don't do slogans in the NFL. We're going to go good from great. You're in the NFL, okay? Everybody's making millions of dollars. You don't need a damn slogan to be good, okay? So silly to do that. And we've been saying that. It's not like we're just now. I've said that from the get-go. Like, I don't even understand why an NFL team would come out with a damn slogan.
You're setting yourself up for failure, essentially.
How about you just do what you're paid to do and what everybody was told you were going to do? Like, you were going to take this next step. So is John Robinson exonerated from all this? No. Not even close. Is Mike Vrabel exonerated from all this? No, not even close. Is his staff? No, not even close. So, Jim, we're not disagreeing here.
Yeah, and here's a question that I'll ask everybody. Do you trust? I mean, if and it's looking like it could be headed that way, the Titans are going to be drafting a quarterback next year. Do you trust John Robinson to make that pick? Because if you go and you look at his draft class, I mean, we've liked his draft classes, but has everything panned out like he had thought? No. Corey Davis is still not playing like the fifth overall pick. Adoree Jackson, while he's gotten better, is still not playing like a first rounder. So you do have to question the evaluation, and if he's the one making the pick, which everybody assumes he will be, is he going to get the right guy that can fix this franchise for the long term? That's a question I have. Mike Vrabel, as we said last week, has struggled at making, you know, some decisions. I mean, he went for it fourth down inside the 20 again yesterday. You think about that stuff, those types of coaching decisions that he makes. The staff does not have a lot of experience. Arthur Smith, we all liked that he had the relationship with Marcus Mariota. Maybe that can make a difference. But, yeah, he's showing signs that he's a first-year play caller.
Well, he's becoming very predictable. Their offense has been very predictable the last eight quarters, as we just discussed.
And I will, you know, how much of that is, okay, maybe Arthur Smith isn't the right choice to be the offensive coordinator, and how much of that is, well, they have to do it that way because that's what's best for Mariota? I don't know the answer to that question. So there are a lot of those. I get it. We're not just piling on Mariota. It's on everyone. But at the same time, I mean, that just shows you where the organization is as a whole.
Let's go to Richard. Richard, what's up?
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call. I called last year when Marcus decided that he wasn't able to play due to that injury during that playoff game. And it seemed to me that maybe Marcus lacked passion. And I said on air, I didn't think he would be a champion for the Titans. At this point, is it lack of talent or is it lack of passion and desire? Does he want to play for a team on the West Coast and he's kind of figuring his way out of Nashville? I just can't figure it out, but he just didn't look like he had any passion yesterday. And I think he's got talent, but he just doesn't seem to have passion to win. So I'll just hang up and let you guys comment about that. Maybe he wants to play on the West Coast where he's closer to mom and dad.
All right. Thank you, Richard. I don't buy any of that stuff. I have said for all the – and I was probably the first in this market to start questioning Mariota as a franchise quarterback, not as a person, not as a likable guy, not as what you want, because that's he's exactly what you want in a room, right? His makeup, his personality, other than, you know, maybe there's some people that would like to see. That's not him, okay? He's never going to be Phillip Rivers. He's never going to be Tom Brady. Okay, that's not him. That's not what he is. That doesn't mean you can't be a good quarterback.
Right.
You don't have to be fire and brimstone. You don't have to be slamming your helmet down on the sidelines or getting in their faces and giving rah-rah speeches all the time. I would admit, Richard, that I have said over the years I would like to see a little bit more. It's one of the concerns that I had with Jake Locker. I wanted to see a little bit more passion from him. I believe Mariota is tough. I don't believe when people question his toughness, I don't buy that for a minute. I don't buy that he lacks passion. I don't buy that he is looking for a way out, trying to get out to the West Coast.
No, I don't think that.
I don't buy any of that. But when it comes to makeup and personality, look, he's not changing. Okay, this is what he is. And you can either like it or not like it. And the real answer is nobody gives a crap about his personality if he's winning. If he's slinging it around the field and he puts up 4,800 yards and 32 touchdowns this year, nobody gives a crap whether he's a mute or not. That's the reality. But whenever you get this body of work that we've all experienced and seen now for the last 4.5 seasons – everything gets questioned at that position. When you get paid well and you're the franchise quarterback, you get questioned fairly or unfairly. That's just what it is, man. That's what you've signed up for. And if you don't like it, you'll have to be like Jake Locker and just say, peace out. See you later. I'm going to go hunt, and I don't need this. But this is what you signed up for, and it's not going to go away in this market. It won't go away in any other tougher markets in Philadelphia or other markets where they question everything. It doesn't matter what market you're in. When you are a franchise quarterback in the NFL and you make $20-plus million, you're going to get questioned, period. Yeah. Whether you think it's fair or not, everything gets questioned. So I understand, you know, maybe you want to see a little bit more fire, but that's not what he is, and he's not going to change. But I don't think it's some master plan behind the scenes to get out of here.
No, I don't think that either. Now, the passion part of, you know, how much does he love the game? I wonder about that sometimes. I mean, you know, if this doesn't work out here and they end up parting ways, you know, could he pull the Jake Locker and Andrew Luck and just say, hey, you know what? I had a good 5-year career. I'm out. I'm done. I wouldn't be shocked by that. I would definitely not get on these airwaves and go, I am so surprised that happened. But I don't question his, you know, the passion part of that he's trying to be a successful quarterback. I think he is what he is.
By the way, people question Phillip Rivers. Like, he's a hothead. You know, people said the same thing about Jay Cutler. Why? Because he didn't win.
Right.
That's if Jay Cutler won like other, nobody would question, you know, the way he went about his business and his personality where it seemed like he didn't give a crap.
Right.
That tends to come out when you're losing or you're not being as successful as people would like when you're a first-round pick like Cutler was or when you're the second pick overall like Mariota is. Don't think that they're not questioning Jameis Winston in Tampa, who was the number one pick overall. They had, what, 16 turnovers yesterday in London?
Bad.
They just turned the ball over again, getting on the plane, coming home. We'll come back. Tommy, you'll be first up on the other side. Mike Vrabel's press conference at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Darren, Donnick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.